that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fisher thrown out at second to end the game, and the Astros are going to ask for a look, and there's no reason not to. Vasquez thinks he got him. Red Sox were ready to celebrate, and that is going to be it. The Astros will not ask for a look. They're going to concede that the call was right.
That's how it ended last night in Houston. Red Sox winners over the Houston Astros, 6-5, to take 2 out of 3 from the best team in baseball this year. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock. Red Sox back in on the road again tonight. They're still on the road in Kansas City against the Royals. Kansas City team that, by the way, has been playing better lately. So you get the opposite now of what you're getting in Houston. Marty, you know the Astros were going bad when the Red Sox went in there? Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
I think they had lost, they were 3-5 or 3-6 over 8 or 9 games or something like that, and all of a sudden the Red Sox go in there and win 2 or 3. Huh. Interesting how that happens like that. Caught him at a good time, the Red Sox did, the Houston Astros.
Didn't that happen with the Cubs, too?
And also, Houston's missing its 2 best pitchers on the disabled list. Dallas Keuchel, Lance McCullers, neither one pitched over the weekend. Of course, Chris Sale didn't throw in the series either. Murray, why do you have that smirk on your face?
No, I know. You're always going to point out the negative.
You suggesting I'm trying to discredit the first-place Red Sox? Is that what you're suggesting?
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, look, here's what I'll tell you. Okay, here's what I'll tell you. They're not in first place yet. Technically, they're not in first. Okay? So now you want to say effectively tied with the Yankees? Sure, they're no games behind, but they're 1 back in the loss column. They have 1 more win than the Yankees do. They're percentage points behind. So here's my point. If the season ended today, you're still in the wild card play-in game. Now, look, the Yankees are in a funk like you would not believe. How many in a row have they lost? 7? Is it 6 or 7 in a row now for the Yankees?
It was just a 4-game sweep at the hands of the A's.
Okay, double check. I wanted to say instinctively 6, but I actually think it's 7 games that New York has lost in a row. And the Red Sox, to their credit, and I say this with all sincerity, injuries or no injuries on the Houston side, not an easy thing to do to go in there and beat that ball club 2 out of 3, especially without your best pitcher going in the series. And so you know what? Give the Red Sox a little bit of love. But that doesn't mean that there is a shortage of things to complain about, because there is.
Yeah, 6-game losing streak.
617-779-0985. And let me tell you now quickly, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com, a service now offered by our friends at Gillette. Fabulous thing. You should check it out. You still get a close shave even if you don't shave all that frequently. So take a look at it. GilletteOnDemand.com. So I will say, overall, I'm very satisfied with the way they played over the weekend. Oddly enough, and you don't see this often, the Red Sox get outscored in the series. They get their ass kicked in the middle game, but they won 2 1-run games on either end. And so take that, Jared Carrabas. You and your run differential can shove it, because the Red Sox had a negative run differential in that series, and yet still were able to take 2 out of 3 from the Astros, won a couple of tight games as much as they tried to give it away. And the Red Sox, by the way, are still getting thrown out on the bases, Murray, with some kind of regularity. But the good news is that Houston's not far behind. Number 2 in terms of getting thrown out on the bases, the Houston Astros. And boy, did that help you out last night. Stealing a base to end the game? What are you, idiotic? And I know you're going against Craig Kimbrel. You're trying to make something happen. On top of that, they get the tying run thrown out at the plate in the 8th inning with 1 out. Oh, what mistakes by the Astros last night. I also want to ask a big picture question on the program as it pertains to Xander Bogaerts, because there was a stretch in that game last night where maybe the 2 best shortstops in the American League were on display. Not just playing in the same game, but absolutely on display. 3 home runs between Bogaerts and Correa last night, and certainly Francisco Lindor of the Indians is in the conversation at that position as well. But to me, maybe the 2 best in the league, I'll tell you where I think Bogaert stacks up. 617-779-0985. We'll start right with your phone calls tonight, because, again, I think it was a good weekend for the Red Sox. And if you wanted to gloat a little or puff out your chest, certainly, it's a good time to do it. Eric is in Plymouth. Eric, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, I mean, yeah, you've been driving me just a little bit crazy. I mean, talking about, I mean, of all the people on the station, you know, you're talking about if the season ended today, there'd be in the wild card game. You've had your eye in the standing since May, Maz. I mean, you know how long baseball is of all people here. I mean, I think I'm wondering if you're going to reassess the team a little bit. I mean, winning 2 out of 3 in Houston is a big deal. Like you said, Sale didn't even go. I mean, I think this team is going to win the AL East, and I'm wondering if you're starting to think that too.
Okay, so look, Eric, the weekend overall was a good one. I mean, again, and they won 2 tight games. As much as they tried to give both of them away that they won, they hung in there. And so I do think you saw some resiliency on the part of the team. Remember, Friday night, Pomeranz goes out, actually gives them a pretty good game, a good game. Then gives up a home run. Now the game's tied at 1. Mookie hits a homer. They win it 2-1. Last night, they were up 5-2. All of a sudden, back-to-back homers. Here you go. Here come the Astros. The Red Sox were able to sort of slither out of that. They got a runner thrown out on the bases, which I did not like. Still too many mistakes on the bases. Dustin Pedroia, that ridiculous double steal. You can look over the weekend at what John Farrell has done. He sent Pomeranz back out there on Friday night. He sent Price back out there on last night after having thrown 104 pitches. He sends him out for the 6th inning, and Price immediately gives up a homer. So the one area where you really don't have a ton to bitch about, oddly enough, with this team, is the bullpen. The bullpen. The consensus weakness on the team coming into the season has still been pretty good. It's really pretty amazing when you think of it that way. Their bullpen's saving their ass, folks. Tim's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Tim.
All right. I have a problem with your take on Xander Bogaerts in the last show not hitting for enough power. Because I sat here and listened to you, I don't know why, but I sat here and listened to you talk about how all Hanley Ramirez does is try to hit home runs, and he's pulling his head off the ball, and he's swinging out of his shoes, and his helmet's, you know, falling off. And I agree, he looks like a clown doing that. But then you got Bogaerts, who doesn't try to do that, who bats .330 every year, around 200 hits, and you're complaining that he doesn't try to hit for enough power. So is it that Hanley tries to hit too much and Bogaerts doesn't? Like, the difference in your philosophy on it, I just don't quite understand.
Because, Tim, Bogaerts is capable of doing both.
Well, clearly he isn't. If he was, then he would routinely be a 30 home run guy, but that's not the kind of hitter that he is.
Okay, and I never said, look, I never said 30, and I'm not going to drop you. I never said 30. Xander Bogaerts, to me, though, should be somewhere in the 20 home run range. Okay, last year he had 21, but he didn't hit .330 last year. The average dipped into the 290s, which overall is still, listen, hold on, I'm not done. Yep. It's still pretty good, but in the last 65 games, he hit .230. Did you watch him hit in the end of the regular season last year?
I did, unfortunately.
Okay, so do you think that that is the kind of hitter he is?
Do I think that he's, what, a .290 hitter?
Do you think that he's the kind of guy that should hit .230 if he's trying to hit for power?
No, he should not be hitting .230. He should routinely be in the 300s to the 320s. But the thing is, if he's going to be hitting 20 to 25 home runs a year, that would be equivalent to somebody else hitting like 40 home runs a year. You know, he's not a 30 home or 25 home run guy.
Okay, and Tim, I just told you, I'm not asking for 25 or 30 home runs. I think he should be able to hit 20. He should be able to hit 20 and still hit, you know, 310, 320, somewhere in that window. And look, to me last night was proof of the Bogaerts thing. And look, honestly, I understand people love him. I do too. But Xander Bogaerts, if he can hit a ball out dead center in Houston and hit the bottom of the batter's eye out there, he should have more than 4 home runs. Guys who hit 4 home runs don't hit a ball like that last night. I'm sorry. That thing was a bomb. It was a smash. And you know what? I loved Bogaerts' approach last night. When he got balls over middle of the plate that he could drive, he drove them. And by the way, he had 4 good at-bats in that game. He had a hard single up the middle to knock in a run late in the game. He had the 2 home runs, and he had a line drive to third that turned into a double play when Mookie Betts got doubled off. That one wasn't a base running mistake, but the Red Sox obviously got lined into a double play and had another out on the bases. But last night, to me, Bogaerts didn't hit a single ball to the opposite field, which is good because they pitched him a middle in, and he crushed it. If they pitch you away, you hit it away. So all I want Bogarts to do is to adjust on the fly. And honestly, the one to center field, fine. It was a smash. The other one was a pitch in that he hooked. He is a gifted enough player to do both. That's my only point with Bogarts. He's a gifted enough player to hit more than four home runs in nearly a half a season. They've played almost 70 games now. What are they, 39 and 30, the Red Sox? So that was one of my complaints going in about Bogarts. And I'm not expecting him to hit two home runs every night. But I am expecting him to hit somewhere around 20 a year. And if you tell me the number is 17 or 18, I'm not going to quibble. It shouldn't be 7 like it was 2 years ago. And last year, he got up to 21. But there was a huge trade-off because his average plummeted in the second half. I want to get to David Price and the starting pitching overall. It is still problematic. And we'll get to Price's performance in particular. There was one thing that David Price did last night that I liked very much. I'll explain to you what that was.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And we've seen that look a lot from David Price tonight. 6 base runners allowed, 5 hits and a walk. 7 base runners allowed as he hits McCann with the opening pitch of the inning.
And you see him still shaking his head there. McCann's had such good success. He knows he's really got to execute his pitches. He got him with a breaking ball, a base hit in his first at bat, and here just wanted to make sure he gets this ball to the corner. But again, it's just that command that he does not have yet at this point in the season. And a leadoff base runner for the Astros. Because this has never been an issue for him. You know, he's been able to walk out there and, you know, he could throw strikes with his eyes closed.
And so on and on it goes for David Price. 5-plus innings last night, threw 107 pitches. Price's ERA now in 5 starts. He has a 5.14 ERA. Last night he walked 3. Hit 2. Gave up a homer.
2 home runs.
So maybe it was the other way around. 2 home runs, 1 hit batter.
8 hits, right? 2 home runs, 3 walks, 2 wild pitches, and a hit batter.
So, you know, you really look at it and you say, boy, do you realize since he's joined the Red Sox, David Price has allowed 37 home runs. 37 homers in 40 starts. We make fun of Drew Pomeranz for being one a day. David Price is right there with him. So this year, he has... he's walked 14 guys in 28 innings. That's 4.5 walks per 9, way too high. He's hit 3 batters. He only hit 7 all of last year. And so there's still a lot of cause for concern there with David Price. I don't know when this thing is going to turn. But there was one thing Price did last night that I liked. And actually, it was that sound we played for you. They were talking about the lack of command. And that at-bat against Brian McCann, Price drilled him in the right shoulder. And I don't think it was completely an accident. And when I say that, McCann had come up in the first inning. Price had thrown him a cutter on the outside part of the plate that McCann still reached out and got and pulled into right field for a hit. In fact, I think it scored a run. And so it's the natural reaction, okay, for a pitcher. Wait a minute. I just threw a breaking ball away to a guy who hits from the same side, left on left. I threw a breaking ball away, and he pulled it. So he's still able to cover the outside part of the plate. So what do you do the next time up? You drill him and get him off the plate. And the next time up, you know what McCann did? He struck out on a cutter away.
I love this. I hate Brian McCann, too, whether it was the Braves, Yankees, or now the Astros. He's one of the underrated hardos in baseball. Do you remember the Carlos Gomez thing going back like four years ago?
Oh, sure, of course,
he refused to let him cross home plate after the home run that he pimped a little bit too much.
That's right, I forgot about
Brian McCann.
Former Atlanta guy.
Yeah.
So this is where your hatred for him is rooted.
Yeah, he's one of these fake tough guys. It's just he takes the unwritten rules of baseball a little too seriously. So not that there was much beef between, maybe there is from the past, and I don't know, between McCann and Price, but I loved that last night.
Oh, so I love the fact that Price drilled him. And again, I don't know if it was fully intentional. Vasquez was set up down and in. Price came up. And the way Price's night went, it was apparent that he was having trouble hitting a spot. So but I'm telling you, they went in to get McCann off the plate. McCann was able to cover the outside corner against Price. So the next time up, they went in and they hit him, but it paid off. Because in the next at bat, they were able to strike him out. Honestly, I wish David Price did more of this. But when you look at it, Porcello had a bad game. Price had a bad game. There's still only one guy in that rotation you can rely on, and it's Chris Sale. He'll pitch in this series in Kansas City. He goes tomorrow night. Hector Velasquez tonight. The Royals have been playing better. We'll see how that shakes out. But you should still be alarmed about the starting pitching.
Well, Porcello's been a mess. He's spotting teams 3 to 4 runs in the first inning for like the last 7 starts that he's had.
Boy, has he been awful. He really has. And both he and Price are getting hit. It's not like they're having bad luck, or they're getting hit. And they're getting hit hard. Price got hit hard last night. And I would say the same of Porcello the other game, although it got better as he went along. So I don't know what the issue is with Porcello. They have to sort that out, whether it's changing a warm-up routine or trying to get him into a rhythm early in a game. I have no idea what it is. But the sinker's not sinking, and in the early part of the game, he's getting absolutely blasted. 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of open lines. John's in the car. Yeah, John.
Hey, Tony. I wanted to talk about Rick Porcello, and I feel like he's almost hurting the team more than Pablo Sandoval, but I also want to get your thoughts on last night with the Astros. What are your thoughts on going to the closer in the eighth inning to face Springer, Altuve, and Correa instead of Barnes?
So, John, I just don't think he was going to go to him at the start of the inning. Okay, had he gone to him in the middle of the inning, I wouldn't have been totally surprised. But look, they've been leaning on Kimbrel a lot here. And they escaped last night. There's no question. Matt Barnes got into a jam right away. He walked the first two guys. Robbie Scott had trouble a little bit with some command there, too. And obviously, you needed Benintendi throwing a guy out at the plate in order to preserve a 6-5 lead. And then Kimbrel came in and got the ninth, and that was that. The Astros helped you out with that steal for the final out. I don't know how the bullpen is doing it. Do you realize the Red Sox bullpen is second in the American League in ERA? And more importantly, because I've told you, bullpen ERA can be a little overrated. It's really more about wins and losses in the bullpen. Because if you just think of it in the simplest terms, the only way the bullpen can lose a game is to blow a lead. Or if it come in with a tie game. The Red Sox relievers this year, you know what their one loss record is, Murray?
I don't know.
13-5. 13-5. They're 9 games over. 8 of it is in the bullpen, which is why I say to you, the bullpen has completely saved their ass. Totally. Those relievers have saved the ass of this team. The unbelievable what they're getting out of that relief corps right now. And look, some nights it's a high wire act like last night was. John is in Winchester, wants to lead into what I think is a bigger discussion. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, guys, what's going on? Hey, I actually want to talk, revisit this Bogarts conversation. So Maz, let me ask you directly. Do you think that Bogarts is a future Hall of Famer? At least from, is his bat a Hall of Fame bat?
John, I think he has the chance to be a Hall of Famer. A chance.
So I do too. And so to your point, and I disagree with the earlier caller, he's a 20 to 30 home run guy, and I think anything under that, he's not competing at the highest level that he can, and so to me, for this team to be good, really good, there's a void that he needs to fill, and to me he could be a future Hall of Fame bat. I don't think he's there yet, and hopefully he gets there soon.
Okay, so look, see, I just think that people are selling Bogarts short here. all of a sudden it's he's not a 30 home run guy. He's not. I never said he was a 30 home run guy. 30's a lot, even in this day and age. It's a lot of homers, even if the ball's juiced and everything else. But with the way he hits, and if, particularly if he's playing at shortstop, where he's you know, obviously bigger than your typical shortstop, he's not out there to hit 7 homers a year. And if you want to tell me it's not all about the home runs, there's power involved, you know, doubles, triples, extra base hits, fine. He and Carlos Correa have a similar number of extra base hits. In fact, I think they're separated really by only one. Okay, so yes, there's some, you know, it's not entirely 100% about the home runs. But 4 home runs halfway through the season? On pace for maybe 10? He should have double that. Now look, he's swinging the bat better. It has been this way for a while now. So I'm not telling you that I've been upset with the Bogarts who's played the last month and a half. That Bogarts has been good. The guy who played the first month that had all singles, that's just nowhere near good enough for this guy. It's nowhere near good enough. He's way too talented a player to be settling for a .330 average with a bunch of singles. There's just way too much talent there. Now, look, if you look at it here and you say, well, it's in the month of May, Bogarts hit .351, but he slugged .544. That, to me, is a little bit more in line with the kind of player he should be. And he only hit a couple of home runs in there, but at least the hits were impact hits. They were impact hits that month. Now, the average is lower this month, but again, I feel like he's starting to get hot again. And to me, there's when Bogarts starts swinging the bat with authority, the lineup changes. Mookie Betts is a skilled player, don't get me wrong, and probably the best all-around player on the team. This guy shouldn't be far behind, though.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yes. Bogarts, high, deep, and gone. His second of the night. He has accounted for all of the offense for the Red Sox, who have the lead.
Really was a hell of a night for Xander Bogarts. 2 home runs. Had an RBI single, 3 hits. He had a stretch there, 1 game, right? I want to say he struck out 5 or 6 times in a span of a couple of games, which is, you know, all over the place, and he looked a little like the guy at the end of last year. But the you know, the prolonged stretches with good hitters don't last long. And so, you know, last year, which was what the alarming thing was with Bogarts in the second half of the year, when he went into that spin, he couldn't get out of it. And now it feels like the spin is shorter again. So let me ask both of you guys, Murray, Jimmy Stewart, and you, the listener.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa or Xander Bogarts? Which one are you picking?
It's tough, but if I have to, it's going to be Correa. And that's because, of, just real quick, because it's the size, it's the bat, and I think he'll eventually be able to hit 30 home runs. Like, he could be A-Rod.
Jimmy?
Carlos Correa, no question.
Okay, it's Correa for me, too. I mean, and look, he's a little younger. So in that way, he has an edge that you can't necessarily hold Bogarts accountable for.
By what, 2 years? 3?
He is. He's 22. Bogarts is 24, I believe. And I don't have the birthdays in front of me, so it's somewhere in the 2 to 3, you know, year difference, somewhere in that area. But last year, Correa batted .274 with 20 homers and 96 RBI. So last year, Bogarts actually hit more home runs. Bogarts last year hit 21. But this year, Correa already has 13 homers. His OPS is .901, leads all shortstops in the American League with a .901 OPS. And in fact, I'll tell you what, let's do this so that we have all of baseball here, not just the American League shortstops. So the leader in OPS among all shortstops in the major leagues, believe it or not, is Zach Cozart of the Cincinnati Reds, .966. Yeah, fewer at bats some of these other guys, but Corey Seager on the list. Bogarts is 4th, and Francisco Lindor is 5th. So you're still talking about in Bogarts, even with the 4 home runs, you're still talking about a guy who's in the top 5 at his position in the game, not just in the league, in the game. He's probably, you know, he might be 3rd in the American League. Because Lindor's a hell of a player, too. I might take both of those guys over Bogarts.
Seager's awesome, too.
So, exactly.
I'd rather have him than Bogarts.
Seager?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, again, now we're getting into the National League, right? But still top five at all the baseball for Bogarts. But the American League, he's probably third, which is still pretty good. But is that the kind of guy, at his production, is that the kind of guy you shell out $25 or $30 million for? And that's now. Who knows what it's going to be in two more years? And I think he's eligible for free agency at the end of 2019, but I'll double-check that. Let's go back to the phone, 617-779-0985. Steve is in Taunton. Go ahead.
How you doing, Tony?
Good.
I was wondering, you think maybe you're putting too much pressure on these pitchers in the beginning of the year? I mean, you judge them too quick.
Who?
It's a lot. Sale everybody. I mean, I just think we just don't just, it's a long season. I think we should just lay off them, let them just relax. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, so why are we pushing?
But Steve, when you say are we putting too much pressure, you're talking about the fans and the media?
Yes.
Do you really think that has any bearing whatsoever on how Drew Pomeranz pitches? Or Rick Porcello?
I'm going to ask you a question. If someone was calling you every, you know, these guys here, they're doing their best, right? You think they're out there not trying? Or do you think they're not?
No, listen, to a degree, of course they're trying their hardest. But I also think what happens is once you get a contract or once you get a certain amount of experience in a league, in any league, you start to get a little complacent and maybe you're not dialed in as much as you should be. So when you say, are they trying as hard as they can? Well, out on the mound? Probably. But is the focus always there? Is everything always there? It's not just about how hard they try. And so, you know, you want to talk about a high school kid or something, I'll cut him some latitude on that. But a big league pitcher? And if you're David Price or you're Drew Pomeranz or you're Rick Porcello and you find yourself burdened by the expectation that comes along with either a big market, an intense baseball market, or a big contract, well, then, A, you're either in the wrong business, or, B, stop paying attention to the media reports.
Yeah, well, if you couldn't be critical, you wouldn't have a show. Like, come on.
And it's not even about that. I would say, like, can we honestly sit here and say that Rick Porcello has earned his money this year?
No. You knew there was going to be a regression, but this is ridiculous. Again, he's spotting teams 3 to 4 runs in the first inning. The fastball, the splitter, it's not dropping. And what's the only thing you can say that's positive about Rick Porcello so far this year? He eats innings.
He takes the ball every 5 days. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Guy was the Cy Young Award winner last year. Again, there was going to be a regression, but this is ridiculous.
So this is another one, Murray, too, since you got me on this topic, the idea that a guy leads the league in innings. See, people always misinterpret this. As like, you know, well, he's durable. Well, that's part of it. Except that you know how you lead the league in innings other than taking the ball every 5 days? You pitch well. You go deep into games. That's how you lead the league in innings. You're going deep into games. It's not leading the league in innings that matters. It's leading the league in good innings. Anybody can pitch a lot of innings if they don't pull you out of the game and you suck. That doesn't do you any good. Leading the league in innings is about pitching well. It's about getting the ball and going out there and going deep into games and getting an extra 3 or 4 or 6 outs every time you go to the mound. It's not just about taking the ball every 5 days. You know, look, there's an element of that. Don't get me wrong. You protect the bullpen. You take the load off of other people, and maybe other guys are better because they don't have to work as hard. There's all of that. But the innings thing is often means that you are pitching well. That's what it means, that you are pitching well. So you are getting more outs because you're staying in games longer. Like, that one to me gets misconstrued all the time. And I'm sorry, this Red Sox rotation, which now apparently is up to 8th in the American League in ERA. Last week when I checked, they were 11th in starters ERA. Now they're 8th. Not good enough. They should be in the top 2 or 3 in the league. They were built to be in the top 2 or 3 in the league. Rick Porcello this year has been a huge disappointment. David Price is, again, starting to look like what I feared, which is a guy coming off of or avoiding Tommy John surgery whose arm isn't right. And I don't care what the radar gun readings, the ball last night looked live. I thought Price's pitches last night had life on them.
That's the locations that's been the issue.
But the ball's in the middle of the plate, or he's hitting guys, or he's walking guys, or he's just not putting the ball in the right spot. And I do think that that is one of the first things that goes when he has have an injury. It's not the velocity. It's the command. It's the control. It's the ability to hit a spot. All of that. This guy doesn't walk people. Historically, 2 walks per 9. This year, it's 4.5. So, you know, he's not right either. And please, don't give me Pomeranz. You know how I feel about him.
Hey, I know you were looking for an update on Dustin Pedroia, who's not in the lineup. So this is from Pete Abraham just a short time ago on Twitter. MRI done today confirmed Pedroia does not have any fractured ribs, but sounds like him playing in this series against Kansas City unlikely. He feels it when he breathes, and he spit up blood after he came off the bases following the hit by pitch. And, you know, played a couple innings, obviously, in the field before coming out.
Okay, I don't know about the spit-up blood part.
Yeah, me either.
So, you know, he was barking pretty hard at that pitcher last night. He clearly thought the guy hit him intentionally. It was the second batter in a row. Betts got hit on the knee. Pedroia got hit in the back. And, again, there wasn't a ton of coverage on Pedroia's anger at that moment. Maybe there'll be more tonight, tomorrow. We find out exactly what it was that pissed him off. As he was arguing with the umpire, too, he clearly felt the pitcher should have been ejected. And that it shouldn't have been just a warning at that point in time. But Pedroia out of the lineup, which means Pablo Sandoval's in. He's at third base. Rutledge is at second, right?
Correct, yeah.
So there you go, in the opener against the Kansas City Royals. 617-779-0985. Our producer, Jimmy Stewart, stumbled on a interesting story by Joe Sheehan. Where does he work, Jimmy? It's Fangraphs or...
Fangraphs Baseball Prospectus, one of those nerd sites that Brian McKenney likes on MLB Network.
Okay, so he's an analytics guy in which he rates the managers in Major League Baseball. We will tell you how John Farrell fared in that assessment, and we'll check in with Adam Jones next.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub, Radio.com. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Came with 9 home runs. High fly ball deep into right field. This one way, way back. And this game is tied.
So that was actually on Friday night. Brian McCann, the catcher of the, good grief. Brian McCann of the Astros homers against Drew Pomeranz. And John Farrell drew some scrutiny for this from Jerry Remy in-game because Pomeranz was sent back out for the 7th inning, immediately gave up a home run. The same thing happened with David Price last night. He'd thrown 104 pitches, was sent back out for the 6th. On the 3rd pitch of the inning, he gave up an absolute bomb of a homer. I think it was Mariznick who hit that one. Up on the railroad tracks up above the left field wall where the train is in Houston. And if there's any defense for Farrell, who made the same mistake twice in the series, okay, if there's any defense, it's that he went to Heath Embry, who came in, and I think Springer was the next batter, and Springer hit one almost the same spot. It was an absolute smash over the top of the left field wall. And the Astros can hit, as we know. I mean, they got tremendous power on that team, tremendous young talent, a lot of guys from the right side. But it was not a great night for Farrell. Aside from those two, one was Friday, the home run last night. The Red Sox also had a double steal in a 6-4 game in the 7th inning, I think it was, when or it might have been the top of the 8th, when Dustin Pedroia got thrown out at 3rd. Pedroia. The Red Sox have now been thrown out on the bases 35 times this year, most in the major leagues, and that does not include caught stealing. Okay? So Pedroia, just a horrible decision to double steal there. Which brings me to this. Joe Sheehan, Fangraphs, one of these analysts, also assessed managers in Major League Baseball on their tactical ability or tactical performance is the better way to put it. Who do you think is number one in all of baseball? 1 to 30, the managers rank. Who do you think was number one in his ability to run a game?
Joe Maddon?
Terry Francona.
Oh, damn it.
Terry Francona, number one. I'll give you the top four, Murray, okay?
Sure.
Number two, who would you guess? You had Joe Maddon, you said, right?
Yeah.
He's 4th.
Okay.
Who else would you put in the top four?
Why do I always forget the guy? I was out in San Francisco.
Bochy?
Yeah.
He's not in there.
Okay.
I'll give
Giardi?
You very good. He's number three.
Okay.
Girardi runs a good game. He does. Girardi knows how to run a bullpen. Joe Girardi runs a good game. Fifth, interestingly enough, I'll give you five only because it suits Jimmy's agenda. Torey Lovello, Arizona Diamondbacks, number five.
I believe they've won nine games in a row or something like that.
Okay. Number two should not surprise you, even though he's an arrogant dink who thinks he knows everything.
Oh, Showalter.
There you go.
Yeah. Good description.
I love how Murray needed no time at all once we gave him the hint. That's terrific. Third, or 30th in all of baseball, Mike Matheny. He's dead last, St. Louis. Mike Socha, 29th, interestingly enough. I used to think he was good. And Brad Osmus of the Tigers is 28th. So where do you think Farrell ranks? Again, 15 would be right in the middle, mediocre. Top 10 would put you in the upper third. Bottom 10 would put you, you know, in the below average.
So he's probably like 25, 26.
21.
Okay.
Very good, Murray. 21. And I don't think that Farrell had a good weekend. Now, all of that said, I think Farrell actually has had a half-decent year. I don't know how they continue to get outs out of that bullpen. I have no idea. And I got to give Farrell some credit for that. Even though every time I see someone come in from the bullpen, whether it's Matt Barnes or Joe Kelly or Robbie Scott, I hold my nose and pray that, like, they're just not going to take a dump right there on the mound.
Tony, I think it's the bullpen is just so well rested since the starters are so overused.
You think that's what it is?
It has to be,
oh,
right?
So you don't want to give Farrell credit. Jimmy hates Farrell. He can't stand Farrell. Hates him with a passion.
Won't give him 21, so the rest of the tactical people in this evaluation and list hate Farrell too.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. The Red Sox need to be a little careful because they've been leaning on the relievers more lately. And you know, Kimbrel could have come in that game, as the caller noted. Kimbrel could have come in that game last night in the eighth inning. He did not. Farrell kept him out in the bullpen, brought him in the ninth. And so maybe they're going to pick their spots here a little bit more with Craig Kimbrel in terms of which games they want him to come in and close for four outs.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.